We thank you for the ministry of your Spirit, the fellowship of your Spirit in our lives. And we continue to thank you, O God, that your word is immovable. It's unshakable. We can stand upon your word, O God. We thank you. So, Lord, this morning, as we yield to you in this moment, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would take the word and impact our hearts, to change minds, to break chains, to rend hearts, that you would have your way, that more and more that we could begin and more and more rise up and be the sons and daughters of God to represent you here in Bundaberg and wherever we go. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we continue our series on sonship, I've been drawn back to the older son. When I was in Gander last Sunday, we had a great time over there. There's some great testimonies, but we'll leave that for another day. Before that, I spoke about the older son from Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. But it was not always known as the parable of the prodigal son. It was about the father. And there's so much about the father here. But I want to focus on the older son, because that's where I feel God wants me to work from today. Because there's some areas that I see in this older son that I see in believers today. And this is just a general comment, obviously. So we need revelation. Because in the body of Christ, we see a disconnectedness and we see an independence. We see it in a local fellowship. We see it between fellowships, we see it in a city, we see it in a nation. There's a level of disconnectedness and independence, and it's not the kingdom of God. It comes from an orphan heart, rooted in pride. And I don't know if we realize, but pride is a major obstacle. Pride is an issue in believers. And pride is an issue. It's a blockage to the flow of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves humility. The Holy Spirit loves honor. The Holy Spirit loves love. The Holy Spirit loves submission, yielding, surrender. That's what the Holy Spirit loves. We read in Scripture, just as a couple examples of pride, James 4:6. We probably know this one pretty well. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that place where God resists the proud, want grace. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What a promise. You see, pride opens up opportunities for the devil to have a crack. Humility keeps us safe in Christ. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride comes before destruction and an arrogant spirit before a fall. We always say pride comes before a fall, but it's pride comes before destruction and an arrogant spirit before a fall. We see, and this is why it's important, and, you know, the older I get, I'm getting pretty old now, the older I get, the wiser you, if you learn the lessons, the wiser you become. That's true. And we read in Peter, it says, 1 Peter 5, it says, in the same way you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. There is a place of living with God where we walk humbly before him. When we try and make our own way, when we try and push doors open, when we just went rather than sent, we can step out of that grace. We can step out of the timing of God. There's a whole difference between went and sent. In Scripture, in many times we read Scriptures like, they went from us, but they were not of us. They were not really a part of it. They went of their own devices. You know, there were, in the early church, they would lay hands on people. They would hear from the Holy Spirit and they would say, God has appointed these people for this ministry. And they would lay hands on them and they would send them. And the sending keeps the connection. It's a relational connection. There's a mutual submission. There's a humility. There's a relationship when you are sent. When we came from Launceston to Bundaberg, we submitted this vision before the pastors of Launceston. And the pastors of Launceston laid hands on me and sent me to Bundaberg. So when people said, who sent you to Bundaberg? I said, the church in Launceston. And they said, which church? And I said, no, not which church, the church. You see, because the mentality is which denomination or which fellowship. No, the church of Launceston sent me. They believed in what we were saying and they sent us. There's something when we sent, the Father sent the Son. And he was sent with authority. He was sent with anointing. He was sent with grace. He was sent. But when we went or when we go in our own devices often. Anyway, sorry, someone must need to hear that because that was not in my notes. Pride makes excuses, but humility makes adjustments. We're called to walk with a humble heart. Pride is a blockage to receiving. Do you struggle to receive? That was on the limit for me today. That was, in terms of being able to receive, that was on my limit. That was like, oh, can we just make it about Jesus? But I get it. Thank you. I get it. But do you struggle to receive? That's a valid question. If someone came up to you today, sorry, Carrie-Anne, you're in the front seat, so you're it. If someone come up to you today and just said to you, I want to bless you and I want to thank you for the anointing, and the grace that you carry, I just want to thank you and I honor you in Jesus' name. If someone come up to you today, no, that's not me. What about if someone come up to you with a gift, like a card, and I just want to give you a gift, like I want to give you something. No. Someone wants to give you a compliment. No, it's okay. It's not me. It's God. It's okay. You know, there are so many people that struggle to receive. What is the issue? Pride. Let's just get straight to the point. If you struggle to receive, it's pride. I'm going to leave you with God with that one. I'll just leave that one right there. Now let's look at the older son. Luke 15. Because what pride is, sorry, I'm going to bounce back into that. What pride is, it's this self-sufficiency. That's what it is. It's all right. I can do it. Got it under control. You know, you don't know how many believers that we've met over 25 years of ministry, they're going through something and they just think, no, it's okay. I'm going to do it all by myself. Why would you do that? Why would you try and get through something by yourself when you've got people around you that'll say, we want to be there for you, but we just didn't know? Why struggle alone through something when you've got a brother or sister who can lift up your arms and at least pray for you? Why do we do that? It's pride. It's the root of pride. I'm okay. It's okay. It's all good. I'll get through it. The older son, Luke 15, just want to look at him from verse 25. The older son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he summoned one of the servants, questioning them what these things meant. The servant said, your brother is here, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he is back home safe and sound. And the older brother became angry, and he didn't want to go in. There's an issue right there. He became angry and he didn't want to go in. It was his brother. His long lost brother. But he was obviously looking at everything that he did. And he missed the fact that he'd come home. That is the grace of God. In spite of what people do, there is an opportunity to come back home. What a beautiful picture. That is why we have, Bonnie and I have a philosophy in our life and in ministry that our door is always open. There is always an opportunity because there is grace. He became angry. He didn't want to go in. So his father came out. We'll talk about that in a minute. And pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, "Look, I've been slaving many years for you, and I've never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came home who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him." And the father said, "Son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now is found." The thing about the oldest son is that he was with the father. The whole time he was with the father. The younger son had gone off, but the oldest son was with the father, but he just didn't recognize it. He didn't recognize the fact that he was with the father. And there are many Christians today in the world today that have a belief or a faith in God, but they don't recognize that they're with the Father. They don't recognize that there's a depth, that there's an intimacy, that there's a grace, there's a place of acceptance and security and love where you can be you. Many people have a faith or a belief in God, but they're not walking free. Because they don't recognize that they're with the Father. The older son didn't recognize it. He was blind to it. He was blind to this truth. He was busy serving. Well, he used the word slaving because that's what an orphan thinks serving is slaving. "I've been slaving all these years," but as a son, you serve because you're building up an inheritance. If a son serves in the family business, he's building up an inheritance, isn't he? He's not slaving. He's working to build up an inheritance. He was trying to earn love when he was already loved. Amen. We see in this passage that he was self-righteous. He was prideful. He was independent. I've already spoken about pride a bit. We won't keep going there. Something when I reread this the other day popped out at me. And it actually ministered to me, was that this was not about the father. And what I mean by that is, he had the perfect father. The prodigal son and the older son had the perfect dad. Look at the love. Look at the love that the prodigal son. Even the fact when the prodigal son came to the father and said, "Dad, just give me my inheritance now." You've heard me say this before, but what he was saying to his dad was, "Dad, you are as good as dead to me. I don't want to wait. I just want my inheritance." Now, how many of us fathers would say, "Oh, here it is, son. Bless you." What would we do? "You're not getting the hands on the inheritance. Is he treating me like that? If you talk to you, you just want me dead? Like, can you imagine?" We're just like, oh, like Rocky Balboa coming out of the off the ring. But he was like, "Okay, here's the inheritance. Go." Wow. He's a perfect father. And after everything he did, he was continually looking. It says that he was looking. He was watching. And one day he saw him. One day he saw him in the distance and he ran to him. He was breaking all protocols. He was breaking all traditions. He was breaking everything of that day because the father went to the son and he fully restored him into sonship. the elder son, this is the same father. The elder son was with the father. Can you imagine being with a dad like that every day of your life? No earthly father is perfect. We do stuff, we say stuff, we miss stuff. But here is a father who is perfect in every way. Even the fact that he went out to the older son when the older son, they said, no, I'm not going in. Like some fathers would go, well, stuff you then. I'll just, you know, you stay out there and you do your wimpy thing and I'll just have a party with my other son. No. He went and said, no, you are my son. Come on. Like what love? You see, people can often blame someone else for something. But we see here that's not always true. Because this son, the oldest son, just as the younger son, had a perfect father and he lived with him. He would have been shown on a daily basis that he was loved, that he was secure, that he was accepted. He would have been showed these things. It was like the father was just showering blessings and love on his son, but there was something in here that was a block. And we can be like that with God. God can be pouring out on our lives, but it's like we've got an umbrella over our head. And we're not experiencing the love, the grace, the power, the mercy, the joy, the hope, everything that he has for us. It says in Scripture he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. If the Son has set you free, then you are truly free. Woo! You are free. People's opinions doesn't matter anymore. What the enemy says doesn't matter anymore. You're free. You are loved. You're accepted. You're secure. But it's like we have an umbrella over our head and we don't receive the showers of blessings through what Christ has done for us. We don't deserve any of it. But Christ took our sin upon himself and he finished it. And he opened up the heavens. He opened up the veil and he said, come. But it's like there's a blockage. I'm hearing you, but I'm not receiving it. And this older son, he had a blockage. He had a blindness. So my question to you today is, do you believe? Do you serve? Are you self-reliant? Do you lack the revelation knowledge that you are loved? Do you lack that knowledge, a revelation that you are loved? Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Peter, he knew he let the Lord down, but Jesus came to him and fully restored him. If you're feeling like you're unworthy, Jesus has made you worthy. Jesus has done everything. You are so loved. So loved. Let that sink deep. Let that sink so deep. You see, orphans disconnect and they wander. And they go wandering and they're looking for affirmation. They're looking for a position. They're looking for something. Why? Because there's lack. There's lack. But in Christ, there is no lack. There's only fullness. Fullness of love, fullness of joy, fullness of peace. I don't get my identity through what I do. I don't get my identity in people's affirmations, although it's certainly encouraging when that happens. But I know who I am because of what Christ has done for me. And I had to do the journey over the years of allowing God to strip pride out of me, strip self-worth, to strip competitiveness, to strip these things out of my life because they were blockages to receiving the love of God. I was used to trying to earn love. I wanted to do something to show love, but I had to understand that I am loved. And I'm probably repeating myself a lot today, but we have to get this revelation. You're loved. You see, while orphans disconnect and they wander looking for something, sons plant themselves. It's like that scripture in Peter. Young men, humble yourselves. Submit to those who are older than you. You plant yourself. You plant yourself, you put your roots down, you go, nah, I know I'm in a good place. I'm not going anywhere else until the Lord says so. And you plant and you get established and you get invested in. And the appropriate time comes and it says, okay, now, it says, humble yourselves before the Lord and in due time, he will lift you up. Because we get our identity out of what we do, we're always looking for something so that our identity needs are met. So many sports people today, so many, well, particularly sports people, struggle with identity. Why? Because they get their identity out of what they do. So when they get a bit older and they can't run anymore or can't swim in the way they used to swim or can't play football because they've got too much arthritis or broken bones or they just can't take the hits or whatever, they struggle. They fall into depression, suicide, alcohol, drug addictions, mental illness. It is rife amongst these group of people. Why? Because their identity was wrapped up in what they did. So when they couldn't do it anymore, who am I? So the question is for you today, who are you? Hopefully your answer is, I am a beloved son of God. Because that's the answer. But maybe you need more revelation in that area. And that's okay. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Because as we get that revelation, we will truly represent the Father in our city in Bundaberg. Orphans don't find that place of peace and rest. They just can't, they can't find it. But a son goes, no. Like Jesus in the boat. Storms all around. And here he is sleeping. And the disciples are like, Jesus? Don't you even care about us? Like, come on, don't you care? We're going to drown here. But you see, because Jesus was a son, he knew. He said, it's okay. My time hasn't come yet. It's okay. I can rest rather than get anxious and fearful and worried and stressed and try to work it out in the storm. I can rest because my Father is a good Father. And he will fulfill his purposes for me. Beautiful place to be in, where we don't have to worry, we don't have to strive, we don't have to, you know, do this stuff. What a beautiful place to be in. In the spirit, I can see some of you are carrying some stuff. Some of you are carrying some stuff. You're carrying some weights. You're carrying some burdens. You're carrying expectations that you put on yourself or on your family, and you need to give them to God. You got to give them to God. Don't let the disappointments of the past dictate your decision today. Don't let it. Don't let it. You're in a new place. You're in a new day. And God has a new season for you. Give it to him. Is there an amen in the house today? You see, because orphans think that it's about the circumstances. I'm trying to find a place where I find peace and rest. But no, no, it's actually within. It's actually within. My peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace Contrast what we see in the older son. Contrast what we see in today's world. Contrast what we're talking about with pride and independence and stress and fear and anxiety and all this stuff. Contrast that to the book of Acts. Contrast that to the early church, where they were connected, where they were of one heart, one mind, one spirit, one purpose. They shared their goods and possessions with one another. They helped each other. They were family. They were together. And the Lord added daily to those who were being saved. What a beautiful picture. That when we get a revelation that we are born again, people of God, born into the kingdom, sons and daughters together, we are family, we are representing the Father here on the earth. What a beautiful picture, because when we start living that way, people are going to start to say, I need what you've got. There is something about you. There is something about you, and there's lack in me, and I don't see lack in you. Can you tell me? And we can tell them about Jesus. We can tell them about what the Lord has done for us. Is there an amen? Ha ha. So good. I'm going to try and finish up. I have no idea what the time is. Oh, yeah. There is. See, I told you I had to preach short. There is a reformation at hand. Reformation. I love the word reformation. Believers truly returning to the Lord and learning to live from, not living towards. We're learning to live from love, not towards love. We're learning to live from rest and peace, not towards rest and peace. We're learning how to live from acceptance, not for acceptance. This is a reformation of hearts and lives, and it's going to cause a reformation of church as we know it, because it's the overflow of what happens in here. You see, we try and change the rules and the boxes, thinking that that's going to do it, but then it's not right in here, but no, it starts here. Because when you get a revelation that you are loved, that you are secure, that you're accepted, that you're a beloved son or daughter, that Jesus has done it all for you, when you get a revelation of that, it changes what you do. It changes how you live. It changes how you think. It changes how you perceive. It changes how you relate with people. You can't forgive somebody if you don't know that you're forgiven. You can't love somebody to the extent that God loves them if you don't know that you are loved in that way. I want to close with this thought today. It's about a revival rest. We are constantly living in a state of revival, but from a place of rest. That's what I believe has always been intended. And while we don't need revivals, we should be living out of revival rest. It's not an event, but it's a lifestyle. It is an entering into the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ. And we live. What a beautiful picture. It's like we're a sailboat out on the water and we lift our sail and the winds of the Holy Spirit blow and we go where the Holy Spirit blows. What a beautiful picture. Not that I'm really into sailing. My dad was. You've heard me say that before. And sometimes, I did learn this from Dad out on the water. If your destination was where Bevan is down the back there, it's very rarely ever a straight course. Depending where the wind is, where the tide is, and what's happening on, you've got a mainsail, you've got a jib, and you've got a spinnaker. I think that's the three main ones. And depending where you are and where the winds were blowing, you would put sails up and down, and you would tack this way, and then you'd tack this way, and then and eventually you get to where you need to be. But there's a rest because you know you're going to reach your destination. You know, the Israelites, they left Egypt, which was a place of slavery. They went through the Red Sea, but they got lost in the wilderness. And many Christians today have left slavery, bondage to sin, and they've come through the Red Sea, the blood of Christ, but they've got lost in the wilderness of life. But I want to encourage you that there's more for you. So let's go through the waters of the Jordan. Let's yield to the work of the Spirit and let us enter into the promises that are yes and amen in Christ. Because the land is ours. The promises are ours. Creation is waiting. Music team, do you want to come? Creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. In Romans 8, we read, "For those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Yep. Can I just close with this? This was not in my thinking, but I'm just feeling like I need to say it. Are you born again? There is the terminology today is that we hear is, "I got saved." And you see crusades and you see altar calls and you see people come down and you see people and they go, "I got saved." But you know what? The biblical terminology is born again. And you are born again when you receive the seed. The seed of the Spirit, the seed of God's promise, the seed of an inheritance, guaranteeing what is to come. It is the seed within you. It is the Spirit of God within you that changes you from the inside out. We can't change ourselves, only God can. It's when we give up. It's when we say, "I can't do it," and we say, "Holy Spirit, have your way in me." That's when we are changed from the inside out. And my fear is, not fear in a bad way, but my fear is that there are people that are sitting in church in Bundaberg today that think that they're saved, but they're not born again. And the Word of God says it's only those who are born again that can enter into the kingdom. It's the seed. You've got to have the seed. And if we went a little bit further, I love this verse because it really gets in your face, but it's so encouraging. John says, in 1 John, he says, "Everyone who is born of God does not continue to remain and practice sin." Woo! It's once under the bondage of sin, but the seed of God within me. I am not defined by sin anymore. I don't desire to sin. Do I still sin? Yeah. The desire in me to sin is not there. I am not defined by sin because the seed within me, the promised Holy Spirit, is changing me from the inside out. You can tell if you've been born again because you are being changed from one degree of glory to another, to another, to another, to another, into the image of Christ. If you need prayer for anything today, the prayer team will pray for you. We are blessed to have a great prayer team that will hear from God and speak into your life, that will pray for you. If there's something in there about the orphan spirit, about fear, about pride, if there's something that's speaking to you today and you feel like today is the day to deal with it, then please come down the front and we'll pray with you. Father, I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I want to thank you that your love for them is so great. Father, we pray for a continued revelation of how high, how long, how deep, how wide is your love. for us, oh God. We pray for that revelation to come and to go deeper and deeper. Your love that surpasses all knowledge, oh God. We pray for your love to go deeper and deeper, because he who the Son sets free is truly free.